Jesus, you're worth waiting for, just like we were talking about in that song. And Jesus, I pray that you would speak to each of us. We all need more of you. Jesus, I pray you would set us free to follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is my wife, Chrissy, and here is our wedding day back in June of 2012, yeah. And so if this were a storybook, like this would be the last page, you know, say Jake and Chrissy got married and they lived happily ever after. That's how books typically end or movies end. But all of us know that when you get married, it's not just a one sentence like happily ever after. Other things happen. Things that you could never have expected, okay? So like on that day down in El Dorado Springs, this beautiful day, we didn't know some of the hard things we were going to have to go through as a couple. And there's every couple is like that. Some stuff from within and some stuff from the outside happens. And so can't go into all those stories, but a couple of Octobers ago, we should have given birth to our first son, Zion Joshua. We lost him to a miscarriage. And then last Christmas, we told all of our family, some of our family's here today, and told them how excited we were to be pregnant again. And then we lost Luna Grace shortly after that, like about a week after that. And it, very traumatic way, Chrissy was in the hospital for about a week. So you go through things like that, and you can't choose in your life the stuff that you're going to go through. But you do get to choose how strong your relationships are going to be. You get to make choices that can either make your relationship stronger or weaker. And so today we're going to be talking specifically about marriage, but the passage we're going to read, it applies much more broadly. And the truths that we're talking about, they apply beyond marriage. Because God talks about the things you do in your life, they make an impact. They have ripple effects throughout the rest of your life. And so, Chrissy, will you read this passage in Galatians for us?
Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life.
So, farming analogy, it's really powerful stuff, though. This idea, if you plant corn in your backyard, you're not going to harvest avocados. Like, it's very simple idea, but as we go through our life, a lot of us get really upset at the things that start growing up in our life, and we don't necessarily take a look at the stuff we've planted in our life. And that verse starts off aggressively. It says, God can't be mocked. Like, you are going to get what you put into life. And that's what's gonna, what you're going to get out of it. So I've got two different types of seeds here. Seeds on the left, seeds on the right. Before I put together this PowerPoint, I had no idea really what these seeds were. And so if I told you, hey, pick one of these two and plant them at your backyard, you're like, okay. But if I told you what they were, you'd probably have an easier time with your choice. So the ones on the left are strawberry seeds. Awesome. The ones on the right are poison ivy seeds, which you maybe have never seen before because obviously people don't plant those normally. So nobody wants poison ivy ever, you know, and people want things like strawberries. The problem is a lot of us run around and we plant stuff like poison ivy in our marriage or in our life, and then we get really upset when we start to itch, okay? So, yeah, we could probably stop the sermon right there, you know? Okay. We're going to go on a little further than that. But we're going to be talking today, how do you plant strawberry type of stuff in your marriage? How do you plant stuff in your marriage today to where later on you'll think, like, man, that is so good. You can't buy that in a store. That's awesome. Because none of us want to have the poison ivy marriage where we're screaming at each other and we don't like each other and we're constantly bickering and we hurt each other all the time, and we throw stuff through walls. None of us want that sort of marriage, but a lot of us are putting the seeds of that today, and that's what you're going to get if you're putting those seeds down. So first area we're going to talk about is trust, and you can put good seeds or bad seeds in your marriage with regards to trust. Do you want to talk to us about the first seed?
So today's sermon is really just practical stuff, and I think all too often we overcomplicate things and we also forget about the real simple things. And so the first one that we're going to talk about is being reliable, and just that when you do what you say you're going to do to your spouse, when you say, I'm going to be here at this time, or yes, I will do this for you, doing that, being a person of your word, that your yes is a yes and that your no is a no, that builds trust. Every time I ask something of Jake and he is able to be there for me in the way that I've asked him to, in the little things, it just sets the stage for being able to trust him even more so, and knowing that that foundation is laid for when something comes along that's bigger.
Yeah. The opposite side of that spectrum of poison ivy you can plant in your relationship is anytime you shame your spouse. You know, anytime you say something to, because you're mad at them, you want to put them down, you want to make them feel little and make yourself feel big, and you say something to that effect, what that does to them is it puts those walls up. When you trust somebody, then you share openly with them. You're not afraid. But when your spouse shames you, then you become afraid to share, and those walls start to grow up. Positive side of that same idea is you can protect your spouse. There's lots of opportunities to take care of your spouse. So, for example, I'm not the best at, like, leveling things when I hang things in the house or do different things. So hanging up pictures might take me hours to do when it should take, like, 10 minutes. And a lot of times at the end it looks good. Maybe I've jerry-rigged something at the back of it. We have some pictures I just hung up. I didn't tell us at first service that have, like, bread ties on one of the nails to make it a little higher because I just did it wrong. Anyways, when you come over to my house, if you said, like, hey, those photos look really good, Chrissy's not going to say, well, did you know Jake had to put bread ties on that nail because he doesn't know how to put a nail in level with the other one. If she said that, you know, that would not be good, obviously. That would break, like, man, why did you bring that up? But instead, she would just say, like, oh, yeah, they look great. Jake hung them, you know? Like, she doesn't have to go into all the details. She just protects that. And that's silly and small, but we have lots of opportunities for that. Okay, a lot of us know, like, oh, when we go into this situation, it's going to be hard on my spouse. And do you think about how can I protect my spouse in that situation? The last one we're going to talk about with trust is secrets. Anytime you keep a secret from your spouse, if it's not like a birthday party or something, anytime you keep a secret, that means either you don't trust them or you're ashamed of something. And so on the don't trust side, you know, if your wife finds out that you've been worried about a layoff for 3 months and everyone at work knows how worried you are, but then she finds out months after everybody else, it doesn't feel good. Mitch knows, like, that's not a good idea. Or we can even do this at church. Like, what if everybody in your small group knows that you've been struggling with something, and then they bring it up in front of your wife because they just assume that your wife knew about it, and then your wife finds out, like, you've been telling guys that you've only known for 4 weeks about all this big stuff, and you haven't even told me. So if you keep secrets from your spouse, you're planting something that's going to grow to be destructive. So if you're ashamed of something or you don't trust your spouse, like, that's something to work on. Just like if you had a bunch of poison ivy growing on your back patio, like, you would work on that. You wouldn't just leave it there. Example of this real quick. Chrissy and I have these phones where they've got these little fingerprint things on the back where you can unlock it by just touching it. And when we first got our phones, we handed our phones to each other and, like, put, like, my fingerprint can unlock Chrissy's and Chrissy's can unlock mine. Or you can give passwords to each other or whatever, yeah. And it's because there's nothing on my phone that I'm embarrassed about or ashamed of for Chrissy to see. And, like, if you're here in the room right now and you're like, man, I would not give my wife my PIN number or something. If you think of that, like, you got a problem. Yeah, Chris is right. Like, there's something going on there you need to work on, okay? And so think about that. Are there any secrets in your life? Don't just think, like, oh, this is just a little secret. It won't matter. That is a seed of something that will grow up, and it will cause problems down the road. So next thing we're going to talk about is intimacy. And intimacy is face-to-face relationship. So there's, you know, an emotional side of this. Having dinner together, having a good conversation, that's a side of intimacy. there's a physical side to this of just being close to each other, being able to cuddle while you watch a show or something, or having sex. Or there's a spiritual side to it of praying together, reading the Bible together. Okay, there's a lot of layers of intimacy, and a relationship's about being generous with each other on all of those layers, okay? And it's not being selfish on one of those layers and saying, like, I'm not going to give you this layer because you didn't give me that layer or something like that. So that's the positive side of it, but the negative side is checking out. And unfortunately, like, I have a good example of this from my own life just in the last week. So Christy and I sat down for dinner. Should have been a good face-to-face intimacy time. Sat down for dinner. Christy was talking a lot about all this stuff going on at work. I was not being very responsive.
True.
See, she's protecting again. So, and then she's telling a story, and we're done eating. So I just start picking up some of the food, or like the chips and stuff, and some different stuff. I'm starting to put it back in the pantry. And So
I'm still sitting at the table, and I'm, you know, still sharing, and I've picked up that he's not really engaging in the conversation, but I think, you know, he will, and he starts putting things away, and what I was saying had ended, and it ended on kind of a spot that would elicit some sort of verbal response, you know, or, oh, you know, some sort of something, and I'm sitting there, and he's putting things away. He's not looking at me. He didn't say anything. And so at that point, I feel like, well, he's not even listening to me. So I said, are you even listening to me? Which he was able to verbally say
so
back everything.
I could parrot back what you've been talking about. I had the facts, at least. You know, so at least it wasn't terrible, you know, like, but, and... Yeah, we could go all sorts of different directions. Because it's easy for, like, oh, or am I even listening? And then you can jump into this big argument or something. But the reality is, I look at myself and realize, like, honestly, like, I'm a decently smart guy, like, and that saved me by the skin of my teeth to be able to, like, parrot back the things that she said, you know? And I realize, like, I'm not being a good listener right now. Like, the thing that she is saying is true. So I saw that. We talked about it a little bit right then. And you're going to make all sorts of mistakes and do boneheaded things. Like, that's normal. That's who we are as humans. But when you make a mistake and you plant something wrong, then you work at uprooting it. And so I went to my small group on Wednesday, talked to them a little bit about it. And, like, we're big on setting goals. So, like, my small group pushed me to set a specific goal. So my goal this week was, like, Chris is going to come home from work 5 days. Every time she comes home from work, I'm going to try to ask her 5 questions about work. You know, it like got really practical, you know?
And he did that. And I didn't know that was his goal from small group. I had no idea. But I did see that he is initiating, because my left to my own flesh side, like, I could have just put that wall up and just said, well, I'm not going to share with you anymore because you really don't care, and just made all these assumptions that would be wrong. But I didn't. I knew that I needed to make sure that I'm still engaging in that conversation and sharing my day with him. But what he did that was awesome was he started those conversations. And so it just led. And so I knew that I could share about my day, and he's interested. And it made this week go so much better. And actually, he knows way more about what's going on in my world, because I spend 8 hours or more every single day away from him. And I want to be connected with him on that stuff. He doesn't know the ins and outs of it. Some of it probably doesn't even make sense. But I want him to be, I still want him to be connected with my work world.
And anytime we make a mistake in marriage, yeah, you need to say you're sorry. Like, that's a piece of it, but that's not the end of it. Like, Jesus always calls us to repentance, this idea of, like, don't just say you're sorry, like, do something different. Like, replace the bad thing you're doing with something positive. Like, take out the bad seed, but put a good seed in there. So hard times is the next thing we're going to talk about. Normally people try to avoid those, but how can they bring intimacy?
Yeah, most of the time when you hear about hard times in marriage, I, anyway, just kind of assume that it's some sort of either physical separation or just an emotional that you aren't connecting or getting along. But as Jake shared, we have two babies in heaven. And when we lost both of those babies, it was a really hard time. And we had a choice to make that we could either not be connected during that time, or we could stay so closely connected and that it could bring a whole nother level of just intimacy and bonding with one another. And it really did that. We grieved in our own way. And still there are times where that happens, but we would check in on each other, and I would say, I would make sure, how is he doing? How can I be strong for him? And vice versa. And I realized through those times that there were moments where the place that I wanted to be the most was if I could have just kind of cut open a little part of his chest and burrowed myself into his chest, that's where I felt the safest. And that's when I realized that hard times can really bring you together and bring a whole nother level of intimacy and connecting than you would have. If somebody would have told me that that would have happened, I couldn't have understood that. But I do see now that we are closer and more bonded because we chose to go through hard times making sure that we stay connected.
Yeah. The next negative one for us is cutting insults. You know your spouse better than anyone and you can really dig at them.
Yeah, we saw this happen with a couple of our friends in Springfield, and it was the wife, actually, and she would make cutting insults and just statements about her husband with him there, and when we would go do girls' nights and things like that, and she would just shame him and say these things, and I would watch the physical reaction that he would have and just the way that it had affected him. And Proverbs 18 tells you that your tongue has the power to bring life and death. And it's all in your words. And why on earth would I want to speak something that would bring death to my husband or bring death to our relationship? And ultimately, that's what I saw happen in their marriage was just the things, and there were other things too. But it just begins to, I mean, it cut into just the intimacy of feeling like I can trust you and wanting to be around you, and it just sets that apart just little by little. And these things that we're talking about, they are small, and some of the examples that we're giving are silly little things, but that's what seeds are. Seeds are little things, but then left to their own, they can grow into something much bigger. And so that's why we're talking about them as little things that you can do that can have a really great big impact or a little thing that can really go awry.
And, you know, maybe you're hearing this today and you just think, like, I've got a whole forest of poison ivy, you know, in my backyard. Like, I've done so much stuff, you know. How do I ever begin? And Adam, who runs sound for us quite a bit, he bought a house recently that had a bunch of poison ivy in the backyard. And one of his daughters, I think, is, like, really allergic to it. So it's this major problem. But Adam started asking other people for advice, started asking for help, started to work on it. And, like, even if no matter what has happened in your past, like, you might have a forest of poison ivy, but you got to start working on it. And don't feel like you have to do it by yourself. Like, get involved with some other people you can trust and say, how do we get over this? How do we change what we've been doing? The last thing on intimacy we're going to talk about is laughing. And Chrissy, I really love this about Chrissy. Like, she brings this out a lot of times when things don't go the way that I had planned or that we were planning. So tell us about one of those times.
So this is just something I think, you know, life has a lot of really serious moments that you can't laugh about because they're sad or they're really hard and it just is what it is. But then life also provides you a lot of moments where you can choose. Do I want to go this way and make the best of it? Or do I want to just be mad and cranky? And so, like Jake shared a couple weeks ago, we like to plan getaways a few times a year just to cut out some quality time for one another. So a few years ago, we planned one and it was in October and right before Halloween, which seems like a random piece of information. But as you can see, it is not a random piece of information. This is
a bed and breakfast that I got for us on accident.
Yes. So if you can't see, those the little things lining the sidewalk are like zombie hands coming out of the ground. And they're up on the second level is a giant spider. And there's all sorts of black and orange Christmas lights.
And like Walmart, little tiny, tons of little statues that go like, ooh, like at different times, like all over the place.
You know the little window jelly things that you can stick to windows that say things? Well, they make blood splatter ones that have like fake razor blades in them. So that was on the front door as we arrived. So
right as you come in, like you sign in this book, and it's this hand with the fingers cut off, and each finger is a candle. Like that was like the candles like in the room.
Super romantic. So automatically we had a choice of like, what are we going to do? Which you can see what we did. We pulled up and I was like, oh, I got to get a picture of this. Well, it just continued. So we also, the place had a hot tub and we were the only ones there for a while. So we decided that we would, you know, take advantage of the hot tub. You open the cover of it, and the chlorine is so strong, we are coughing, our eyes are burning, like, I mean, it was awful. So we're going to tough it out, we're going to take advantage of this hot tub, so we get in, and at one point, Jake's phone somehow flips off of the little table and winds up in the hot tub.
Like, blink, 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 like, as it goes down.
And so, you know, hot tub time is over, so then we're like, okay, we'll go back, we'll watch a movie in our room. The TV in our room is like the size of a small laptop screen and is way on that side of the room. So we just decide we can't see that. So we're just watch it on our own laptop. So we're watching the movie. We've got the laptop sitting on the bed. We're watching. I'm eating some snacks and I'm eating some taffy. And I notice as I bite down that all of a sudden I spit out half my tooth. And that's not even the whole thing. That's just part of it.
Like there were,
yeah, lots of little pieces. And so what do? You call your mom.
So it went from like not very much light in the room to like lights turned on. I'm sitting on the other side of the room.
And I'm talking to my mom. So because she works for a dentist for most of my life. So I was like, she'll know what to do. Well, I forgot to tell her that we're on this like romantic getaway. So we just chat for like the next 45 minutes or something, and Jake's just like, you know, looking at me. So anyway, it just goes on. I'm telling you, the craziness didn't end. But for the sake of time, we'll end it there. But we had a choice all the way through that we could have said, you know what, this weekend has not turned out to be anything like we had planned. We wanted quality time, connecting, being able to share things that have been on our hearts that just life normally doesn't allow you the space to share. We could have said, what a waste of money, what a waste of our time, this weekend is ruined, and we could have been really angry and frustrated about it. But instead, and it did not turn out anything like we had planned, but instead we laughed at every single thing. And we've done a lot of getaways over the course of our marriage. This is the one we talk about the most. This is the one that we remember the most, because how could you not? I mean... So you have that choice in your marriage when things happen that you're like, or you try something new that doesn't work out or different things, you have that opportunity to just laugh about it and let it be something that is a funny story that you guys look on fondly instead of being so serious with your marriage and saying it all has to be perfect all the time, because it won't.
So the final piece of it we're going to talk about today is friendship. And we talked about intimacy face-to-face. Friendship is shoulder-to-shoulder. It's doing activities together. And so the opposite of that, though, is just becoming business partners. So a lot of times when marriages are under stress, like maybe there's a lot of kids at home or a lot of bills or a sick parent, and it can just become you've got the A shift and I have the B shift, and you pay those bills and I'll pay these bills, and you get the kids out of the tree, and I'll get the one, you know, that's cutting the other one's hair or something. And it's like, and it just becomes we're clocking in like we're just business partners. We just, all of our conversations are about, did you get this done? I'll get this done. I'll do that. You pick up this kid. And if you have a relationship that's all that it is, then that's not going to last. Like, that's not going to be the marriage that it's supposed to be. So if you look at your relationship with your spouse right now and you think we're more business partners than we are lovers, than we are friends, than we are in these other positive things, that's something to look at. Of like, that's planting something that's going to be destructive down the road. Like, we need to plant quality time together. The last one, the last seed for us to talk about is growing together. And you know, when I married Chrissy, Chrissy was incredible, obviously, but I couldn't just freeze Chrissy and say, now, never like a different food, never listen to different music, like, never read a different book, like, stay exactly how you are, you know? Like, that would be, like, psycho, you know? Like, people change. Like, that's what you want to have happen. Love is supposed to be this ongoing relationship, this alive thing. And so you're going to continue to grow. Chrissy's going to be a different person in 5 years than she is today. I'll be a different person too. And so the goal isn't just to stay the same, but the goal is to grow together. And how do you do that? Well, Chrissy and I do things separately. We're not always together. But we also do some things specifically together, and that allows us to grow in the same sorts of ways, at least. So, for instance, January, this last year, we both, for a bunch of different reasons, didn't feel very healthy, didn't feel very good, and I started to talk about this crazy idea I had to try to be vegan for the month of February, just to try it out, which is, I don't know if anyone has ever said that before, like, I just want to try that out and see what, experience it. And so I told that to Chrissy.
And I wanted to do this with him. I knew I couldn't go full vegan, so I said, I'll go vegetarian, you go vegan. And obviously, I ate a lot of vegan things because we cooked dinner together every night.
And so over the course of that month, we cooked almost every night something different that we never had before. Honestly, it was almost all terrible, like everything that we made. So this is vegan chili, and it's the end of it. This is the only thing that we made that month that we've continued to cook. It's the only, thing that survived. Like, this is good enough to eat. So if you came to the chili cook-off, I made it just so I could have something to eat that night. And people seemed to like it. I mean, got eaten that night, at least. But most of what we made wasn't very good. There's a lot of nights of, we slave over this meal we've never made before. It's complicated. A bunch of ingredients we haven't heard before. And then it isn't any good. And so we did that for the whole month, which seems kind of weird and like, why are you doing this to yourselves? But at the end of the month, we went back to eating, meat and all sorts of other stuff. But it did change a lot of different things about us. Like, I cook differently than I did before. Like, I use a bunch of seasonings I didn't use before. I do actually eat a lot more vegetables, both of us do, I think, than we did before. Like, it changed our eating habits and some of these different things about ourselves. And that's a really small corner of life, but we went through it together, and we both got exposed to kind of the same thing, so we both grew in some of the same ways. And so you don't always have to do the exact same thing, but you do need to be going through some things together so you can grow in the same direction. If you never spend any time doing similar things, exposing yourselves to different things, then you won't grow together. So we're going to end today on an analogy about a vase that Chrissy came up with. So Chrissy, tell us about the vase to start.
Yes. So I have spent, I've been to Kenya a number of different times, and I've spent a lot of time there over the course of my life. And it's a place that will always have a special place in my heart. One of my trips, I went to a glass blowing factory, and all of the glasses, starts, with nothing, and then they make it into beautiful things. And so I wanted to have something to just remember that country by. So I got this. And so every time I take it out, I think of it. And this is something that is precious to me. This means a lot to me. So obviously I want to take good care of it. Well, more than just this vase, something more precious is our marriage. And so if I'm going to do something to take care of this, how much more should I do something to take care of our marriage? But for the sake of this example, this is a marriage. And I'm a visual learner, and so I love these sorts of things because it just plays a mental image in my mind whenever I'm thinking about why am I making the choice that I'm making. So the things we've been talking about today just provide a layer of bubble wrap. So whenever you are spending time growing together with your spouse, you add a layer of bubble wrap around it. Whenever you make sure that you are reliable, when you tell your spouse you're going to do something, you do it. They can count on you in the little things, and they can count on you in the big things. That's another layer. Whenever you spend time growing in your friendship, that's another layer. Whenever you protect your spouse, you don't say the things about them that are embarrassing. You don't shame them. You don't call them names when you're having an argument. You protect that marriage. That's another layer. you just keep adding these layers and layers with all of those good things, all of those little seeds eventually begin to produce, and they can produce really great things or not so great things. And so what we have here is a vase that is very protected. So when life happens, because it does, and if life were to happen and to knock this vase off, it would be more protected. It would be more likely to not break. And that's what I want our marriage, and that's what we want for your marriages to be like as well. As life happens, hard things come, things we did not expect on the day that we got married, that we would have a very hard time getting pregnant and that we would have two babies go to heaven that we don't have here. We couldn't know that. But when that happened, our marriage was really, really insulated. And so it didn't shatter our marriage. It knocked it down. It may have chipped it for a minute, but we were able to put it back together, and it is just as strong as it was before. And that is what... and that is what God wants your marriage to be. Because God loves marriages. He wants godly families, and that is exactly what the enemy does not want. So the enemy is going to have things come and attack it and try to knock it down and try to take layer upon layer of the bubble wrap off. And so you have to fight, and you have to work really, really hard to say, nope, not in my marriage. Nope, I'm going to take care of this, because things will come at it, but you're the one that has the control over making sure how insulated is your marriage.
Yeah. So... we'll have Chrissy preach more often. So last thought for you guys today is just, you get to decide how much bubble wrap you want. Like, do you want just a little bit, or you're like, I'm gonna try to do a little bit, but not a lot, or are you just gonna, yeah, caseload is what Chris wants, you know? So you have to choose that. And whether you're married today or not, the principle is the same. Of like, are you planting things in your life that are going to grow up to give you more life? Or are you planting things in your life that are going to be destructive? So you guys have to each choose that. I want to pray a blessing over you guys to close out our sermon. And then there's one more little thing we're going to do as well. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for marriage. And I pray for each marriage in this room. God, I pray you would establish all the good things they plant. God, show them how to uproot the bad things, the poison ivy that they've put in there. And God, show them how to plant good seeds in their marriage. God, I pray for everybody who's not married in this room today. God, show them how to plant things that are going to give them life down the road. God, protect them from things that are going to be destructive down the road. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, real quick, about 6 weeks ago or so, Chrissy started asking me a whole lot of questions about, Jake, if you could get a brand new bicycle, because I ride bicycle a lot, what kind of bicycle would you get? And she started, like, a lot of specific questions. And maybe I'm not that smart, because honestly, like, I didn't clue in at all. I was just like, well, maybe this or that. Well, then Kenny, who's back there in the sound booth, wanted to take me shopping for bicycles, like, just to test ride a bunch of them. Eric today asked to put this picture on screen, so I'm going to hand things off to Eric.
Good morning. Do we have any Jake Taylor fans in the house? What you are seeing there is a picture from the 80s. The bike's from the 80s, and Jake's from the 80s. Jake, pretty cool. Bike, not so cool. So just to make a long story short, me and Marcus were joking one day about Jake's bike. I have you seen Jake's bike? And we were kind of laughing. I said it reminds me of an old show called Three's Company. It kind of went out with bell bottoms. So we kind of left it like that. I didn't want to beat up on Jake's bike. So Jake preaches one day about how he's riding his bike, and he passes this kid, and the kid says, "Hey, your bike's dumb." And I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard. Oh, really? Because you know how... So I actually text Jake that next Monday and said, "Hey, your bike's dumb." So anyway, and you know how kids are. Kids will tell you what's on their mind. So after I heard that, I said, "Marcus, we got together." I said, "We have to do something about Jake's bike." And with you guys' help, you know who you are, a bunch of you chipped in, and I'd like to present you with Jake Taylor's new bike. Come on in, Marcus. That is a 2017 model versus a 1980s model.
I get a chance to talk to a lot of other pastors, and a lot of times I go away from those conversations kind of feeling guilty, to be honest, like, because they have to deal with a lot of stuff that Maywood doesn't have anything about. And, like, I am so blessed to be at Maywood, and you guys are just over the top, like, incredible to me, and yeah. So, yeah. Let me pray to close this out. Thank you guys so much. God, I thank you for how generous you are. There's just a lot of verses that talk about that if we follow you, that you give us the desires of our heart. And it is such a blessing to be at a church with so much love like Maywood, and a church that's so accepting like Maywood. God, I thank you for who you are and that you're our generous Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.